Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what are you guys up to?
Oh, a little weed, you know.
It's the Weedsman Podcast Nugget.
Zippity what?
Ready to drop the bass? Let's drop the bass.
Whoop-de-doo. What does it all mean?
All the random stuff that didn't fit in Friday's show you'll find here.
Oh. Okay.
Hey, man. You got a joint?
Got a little bit of reefer I smell on your boy?
What'd that mean?
Please, give me, just give me my weed, all right?
Check one. Check, check, check.
Chickity check.
Chickity Chinese.
Chickity China.
The Chinese chicken. They still play that song?
Yes.
I know they do.
I'd ask if you think the Baronated Ladies regret doing that song, but probably not when they go home to their big giant houses.
Let's see, they started a band called Baronated Ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that's all part of the plan.
So you weren't even a fan before they sold out the Baronated Ladies?
Baronated Ladies? No.
It seemed if you liked alternative music in the early to mid-90s, they kind of just ended up on your radar.
Well, they were on the radar.
Well, we live close to the Canadian border, so we probably had a little more exposure to them.
Right. They got a lot of play on 89X, which is a Canadian station, but that was broadcast into the Detroit area and was the only place for the longest time where you would find anything classified as alternative. I heard.
God damn it! All the way one down to I
love,
12?
The one I love by REM was on the riff the other day. I'm like, okay. Or no, I mean, I said the riff.
89X.
No. Classic rock station. I was listening to classic rock station and it was on there.
Yeah.
REM from the '80s was on REM. Just fucking REM was on classic rock.
I was in Nebraska a couple weeks ago. You know, they had the radio on in the lobby or whatever, and it's Nebraska's classic rock. And then they play Collective Soul. I just hung my head. I was like, and I did the math. I was like, no, they're right. It's a 25-year-old song.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, when we were kids, what was on... I mean, there was, like, shit 10 years old, it seemed like, that was on the classic rock station when we were kids.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was listening to stuff in the 80s, and they were playing shit from the 70s, like it was classic rock.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that holds...
They're playing this, which too, it's a deep cut from Collective Soul. It's not exactly the first song you think about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about this one.
So of most people,
this is, you know, Collective Soul is another band that I was definitely aware of at the time. Just didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, for me, I just always filed them as generic rock band.
Yeah. Hey, not really anything special. Yeah. I knew people who had their albums, but I didn't be like, oh, wow, really? Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't like finding an Amy Grant CD or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't like, it wasn't one of those We Can't Be Friends Anymore albums. It
doesn't damage your credibility. It's no different than if you looked in the fridge and they had Pepsi.
Yeah, no, right.
You're like, okay, so you like Pepsi. Some people like Pepsi, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
We had our levels good in there, because, like, I can barely hear it in the headphones. Is it just me?
It's just you.
I think my headphones are just low overall. Maybe just crank them up another notch. These are high impedance headphones.
You ready for the crackle?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thanks for the warning. And go, you what, past 12 there? Or at 12? Chuck 1212. That's better.
So is it impedance or impotence?
Impedance, impotence. I always say impedance.
I always read impotence. Then you say that and people think about dicks not working.
Yeah, but if you get pulled over for an improper turn and a
you
cop
are impeding traffic.
And cop says, I'm just gonna give you a ticket that has 0 points, is he giving you an impeding traffic or impeding traffic?
Touché.
And that's what impedance is coming from. It's a measure of resistance. So there's a certain amount of power that's outputting, you know, that's pushing those sound waves out of that audio jack.
Yes.
And the higher the impedance, the higher the resistance, the more you're able to control that sound. But it's also, you're going to get less overall volume from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... it's like the size of a gear when it comes to transference of power, right? You want a small gear that sits in the engine that transfers to a large gear that can make that those, you know, thousands of rotations per second RPMs translate into something that just gets you going like 60 miles an hour. It's a way to control the speed. You're kind of impeding those rotations in that same way. So because these are higher end headphones than like the Beats that you're wearing are commercial. These are like professional, right? I think they say professional on. Does it say professional on my headphones or do I cover up with stickers?
It says ultrasonic.
So while the Beats, they want nice big round bass and crisp enough highs, and that's about it. They're going to scoop everything out of the center anyway. So they want a decent amount of volume. So they're low impedance. But you get an overall kind of fuzzier sound. You lose control of your of an accurate stereo image that way. Did you hear that pop too? Like something was off?
No.
Oh. So these are like, I don't know, 80 ohm or something like that, 120 ohm. Much higher than your average headphone because it's about accuracy.
Something I should sound good. That's all I care about.
They are kind of, they also, in the name of accuracy, they have the forward tilting tweeter, or speakers rather, that kind of fire back at your ears to hit the inner part of the ear to reflect off the way sound normally does. And it's a little strange doing a show with these headphones because while you sound like you normally sound in my headphones, for some reason, I just sound like I'm talking right up against a wall. And hearing like my reflection of my voice echoing back into my ears rather than it coming from the headphones. It's as if you just put your nose in the corner of the room and started talking.
Huh.
That's how it has that just slight reverberation to it where it's slightly delayed. Whereas you don't, yeah, you sound perfect. I don't think there's any way to get rid of that fuzz. I think that's what's why I think, because you sound perfect in my headphones too. It's just me that sounds fuzzy and weird. I've been sitting on this one for a while.
How's this sound in your headphones?
Every time we talk about headphones. Talk about headphones probably more than most podcasts.
It's possible.
I mean, I'm sure there's some tech sites and some, you know, sound engineer podcasts out there that just do whole shows on this.
In the neck with a butter knife will fit the cup.
Just cause.
It ain't going platinum, it's going double uranium, son.
Isn't he from De La Soul?
Who is the taller guy next to him?
Yeah.
He looks familiar, but I don't think he's from De La Soul. I don't know who that was.
Why you drop the beat out, man? All right, here I go. You ready to rock it?
Okay, so I came across a story that said sound waves are a form of anti-gravity.
What?
Because they have negative mass. Now, I won't even get into all the things that we still don't know about mass. And that's part of the mystery of... That's why you've heard the term dark matter before. And it's dark because nobody's seen it. Nobody's seen any evidence of it. They just... The math says there has to be more mass in order for everything else to make sense. So it's either dark energy or start all over again. Dark energy is the Hail Mary pass in particle astrophysics.
I don't know what the fuck you just said, little kid.
Sound waves have mass and can interact via gravity, but that mass is negative. In other words, sound floats upward. I mean, we've seen, certainly it's been very popular, we've seen these people who do tricks with sound waves. And make shapes out of like sand or fine granular material or water. You know what I'm talking about? Like pouring water in front of the speaker and see it make different shapes.
Yes.
And sand on a platform and have it make patterns. That's done by what? I mean, sound pressure, right? We understand that it's like making waves in the air, but don't you have to have some sort of mass in order to accomplish that? Doesn't everything else that we know about gravity involve its effects on mass. We wouldn't know what gravity was or even to build a detector for it if we did not see its effects on mass.
It's true.
We have no way to see it or feel it. So, okay, so sound waves have mass. I mean, let's start there. Where does it get this mass from? I mean, there's some... We have this kind of clearer understanding of the idea that, you know, nothing can be created or destroyed, right? It just changes state. There's a certain amount of everything in the universe, and it can't just come out of nowhere. If you want energy, you have to make it from something, from some matter, something that has mass, and you have to turn that mass into energy. So there's some sort of process that can do the reverse as well, that, like, something that has energy can turn it into mass. You know, even light waves, light beams, like light particles, actually. That's the thing, is light is both a particle and a beam, because the particle is what represents the mass.
Instead
of
you telling me that you've discovered time travel. I fell off my toilet and I drew this.
So it goes on to say in this article that not only the sound waves have mass, they can can interact via gravity. We've seen, like, moving just water and sand, mm-hmm. or breaking a glass or something like that. But that mass is negative. In other words, sound floats upward.
It's a wave. It's believable.
Right. I mean,
don't they tell you every sound you've ever made is still going in space?
I think that would mean also that light had negative mass as well, because you can shine a beam up into space and it will... I've been told that eventually the gravity will pull at it so that it curves around the Earth, but, you know, it goes pretty far. You know, it doesn't fall right back down to Earth right away, like if you threw a football. Right? You can shine a beam up and it looks like it's just going all the way up into the stratosphere. And it is. Some of those particles are traveling on. Like, they are lighter. They are not only unaffected, but anti-gravity.
Don't give a shit. They keep going no matter what.
I think we've always thought about anti-gravity like it would be some form of magnet, right? That we've seen the way that
this is not what comic books and sci-fi movies have taught me. What anti-gravity is.
Well, the magnets are a good one because we can see its representation. We can do small experiments with it.
No, I believe gloves are supposed to be used in some
form. And all we have to
possibly
do is... gloves and goggles with the crazy hair.
A separate room.
Yeah.
It needs to be in a separate room. Because normal gravity, we could all die. We don't know why. If it hits normal gravity, we're all going to die. It's just what's...
I think that, like...
No, I'm thinking of antimatter.
Yeah, that's matter and antimatter. Yes. They actually do. That is part of the belief science, is that they cancel each other out when they are actually in situations where they interact. They destroy each other. But, like, so magnets have just a relationship where... They have, it's almost like a signal that's sent, and all the little poles want to line up in a certain way, and they say, hey, we're lining up this way, and if you can't line up that way, if you're permanently lined up the other way, we're going to shove you away. And you can float things with that, maglev trains and all that shit. But that's still limited. That's not like flying into space. You'd have to take a magnet with you, and then you'd have to have propulsion and guidance for the magnet, so it kind of doesn't make sense.
You want a powerful-ass magnet to get you in space.
Right. Maglev, quote-unquote, anti-gravity is really just, let's get off the ground so we can move really fast. Doesn't get you any further off than that. This is like anti-gravity, like, you know, just... No more flying in planes or even having to have anything aerodynamic. You just have a space shuttle that everyone just flies up into the air and then lands in a certain place. You wouldn't even probably really travel much. You would just wait. You'd go up into the air and you'd wait for the Earth to rotate to the part that you want roughly and then land.
Well, whatever it is, Elon Musk was going to invent it.
I don't think he's going to do that with Tesla. It sounds like he's being ousted.
Really?
Yeah. His little
smug a weed with Joe Rogan was the last straw.
I think it was the last straw in a long line of what people were seeing as fumbles.
Isn't it his company?
It's his company, yes, but...
I guess I know how you can be fired from your own company, but still, I've always just wondered, like, ain't that some shit?
It doesn't make sense, but that's a gamble that you take by having other people, investors on board. They have a stake.
So he doesn't have enough liquid to go fuck off to my company?
He doesn't have it was his ideas of possibly going public and the idea that he had all this private equity to accomplish that with without showing any evidence and just putting that out there on Twitter, causing a large fluctuation in his stock, which a lot of people not only have stock in Tesla, but look at that as a barometer of how tech stock is doing in general. And that's probably not a good idea just because they are so well known. They are the McDonald's of the Silicon Valley in that way. Now they're not the McDonald's, right? They're the Five Guys, right? They're the Silicon Valley Five Guys.
They're the industry disruptor. So who showed up on the scene?
I think Five Guys is disrupting a little bit. It's definitely making the McDonald's and BK.
They're like the Little Caesars
of
Silicon Valley. Yeah. They came in to an industry that was already going and fucked it all up.
Only if Little Caesars pizzas were like $100.
Yeah, I know, right?
The only thing different was that they're
the Amazon of Silicon. Wait, no, Amazon.
The box
the
would
Amazon.
Open itself. The same pizza in there. It's just this fancy self-opening box that's delivered by drone. So, I don't know. Ira Rothstein says it's almost like anti-gravity. No, what do you mean almost like? I have to go to
just
another.
Just 10 minutes on almost like. This guy out of here.
He does go on, but I'd have to pay $24.95 a year to find out. So I'm just going to find another story on it.
Yeah.
A photon, a particle light unit of vibration that can describe sound at very small scales, has a very slight negative mass, and that means sound waves travel upward ever so slightly. This is a grad student from Columbia named Rafael Kravetsky.
There, the crevasse. Fill it.
Photons aren't particles of the sort most people typically imagine, like atoms or molecules.
We're just hitting the theme today.
The sound moves through the air, it vibrates the molecules around it. But that vibration can't be easily described by the movement of the molecules themselves. Instead, just as light waves can be described as photons or a particle of light, photons are a way to describe sound waves that emerge from the complicated interactions of the fluid molecules, right? Let's see if I can translate that. And I'm not even sure I understand that. But the thought was
also,
that if there's a photon, a particle of sound that's doing this vibration, that's causing this vibration that we see, that we hear...
Mm-hmm.
It would make sense that that wiggle of the photon represents in some way the wave that it produces, right?
Right.
That would make sense, right?
Yes.
Just like we see certain colors depending on certain wavelengths of light. That's just how fast the photon is vibrating, whether it makes a red or a green or a blue. That's just different speeds. That's literally frequencies of light, the same way that we have frequencies of music.
I feel like that's cool.
But the frequencies is measuring the wave, the reproduction of what's coming out of the photons. They've had no measurement of the photons making a certain wiggle to make a certain... The photons wiggle, and they move in directions, but they don't make any movement that seems to translate directly to the waves that are produced and the quote-unquote anti-gravity effect that they're seeing from it.
No!
Hold on, the joint went out. So what they're thinking is...
My eyes starting to glaze over, and I'm trying to not... Well, it's probably... It's the weed.
There's some spooky science, some interaction that's happening that they can't translate yet. And if they do, they can unlock that.
They're trying to figure out what causes the wiggle?
Well, what causes... Like... We know that...
What causes the thing to cause the wiggle?
I can bang a gong and it'll make a vibration, right? And other people will hear it. And if it's big enough and a deep enough wave, you'll even hear it, feel it. Yes. You know? If you're close to it, you feel the effects. It's like standing by a subwoofer. So we understand that science. This moves, produces a wave, affects this. But when you break down the mechanics of how that wave is produced and are able to harness that energy and in a way where you can, like we've harnessed the effects of magnets to levitate objects, we could do the same thing with this technology with possibly just by tweaking some atoms, making certain things line up in a certain way, figuring out how to generate photons that didn't have to make a big sound, right? I think that's the problem. Like, we can probably levitate something with a big enough speaker, but it would go over everything that it that it levitated over.
Yes. Know?
So I think maybe the idea is that you cut out the middleman, figure out how to harness that anti-gravity energy, tune it to a frequency that is effective but not destructive.
And, good God, what if that frequency is the brown note?
Right. Man.
Then we've got a huge mess on our hands.
You think that property near the airport was devalued now? It's going to plummet.
Yeah.
When you can't be home.
Wait, you're telling me you're giving me a free house. Yes.
Wait a
minute. It's no strict, no questions asked.
$50,000 for a 2-bedroom, 5-bathroom house? How does that work?
Yeah.
Hey, why is there a toilet in the kitchen?
You'll see.
You'll need it.
Yeah.
Oh, science. I probably didn't even explain any of that right, but I think I'm getting there.
Well, Twitter, someone will let us know.
Here's some science you can get behind and easily understand. Well, maybe. Scientists give ecstasy to octopuses.
Yeah, I saw that. And what it said, made them all lovey-dovey or whatever, and made them nicer. And the first thing I thought was like, no shit. Have you ever taken ecstasy? I did the study with humans 20 years ago in a bunch of warehouses.
Yeah.
I didn't need any octopus.
I think, you know, there's been a lot of stories. The more we are able to understand behavior and the brain patterns and everything of other creatures that make us realize how much we have in common, like how much an octopus actually does think and its brain operates like ours.
Yeah, we're just top of the food chain. That's all we are.
Right. And how that these weird tweaks of evolution just ended up with, I think we got into this last week, but, you know, it could just have been the octopus. This could be Cthulhu world, that, you know, we could be octopi, or we would just be monkeys living in octopi world.
It's true.
It's organized much more like a snail's brain than ours. Oh, well, there you go. According to one of these scientists who worked on this. What do you know? You're giving drugs to octopi. I don't like octopuses either. I'm going to stick with octopi. I like the animals very much. I do not like the plural form octopuses. I prefer octopi, and I've heard both are correct. Here's a picture. There's a video of one like stealing one of their guys' rebreathers or something. They're wily, huh? So anyway, it's more like a snail's brain.
It is like a giant snail.
When they were sober, the octopuses were more likely to socialize with the other octopus compared to exploring the toy that they were given. When the octopus was female, regardless of the subject's own sex. Okay, so female octopus is more likely to get other octopus to play with her over a toy, regardless of if the octopus is male or female. Not much different than humans.
Yeah, so it just shows mixed titties.
How many boobs?
Tell it there might be the small minuscule promise of sex in 3 years.
So, wait, what happened? The second time in the tank, the animals were dunked in an MDMA solution.
Ecstasy bath?
How much is this?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, how do I sign up for this study?
You can leave the octopus. I don't even mind. Let's party.
Is there a human study? Can we sign up?
I don't even need you to study anything. Just give me some alone time.
Yeah, how do I get the ecstasy bath? Bottom line.
solution. So the MDMA solution that allowed them to absorb the drug through their gills. I bet my skin would work too. Maybe they'd have to drink a little bit of it. Let's see. The first dose was too high, and they, quote, freaked out and did all these color changes.
Again, did this 25 years ago in a warehouse.
They did all these color changes.
20.
Was the scientist like dosing up too?
Yeah, I know, right?
He's like, man, the octopus, they started like freaking out, waving their tentacles, changing colors, and then one of them said, "You gave us too much, man."
Took too much, man.
I'm freaking out, man.
One of the octopuses.
Maybe that's what happened to that kayaker. Did you see that one? These kayakers, somebody's videotaping all these kayakers. And the one closest to the camera is just minding his own business. And all of a sudden, this seal pops up next to him with an octopus in his mouth.
What?
There's a video of it. You find, like, seriously, find it.
Seal just goes, "Hey, lunchtime, everybody."
No, he slaps him across the face with it.
What?
Yeah. Seriously. Look up. I mean, look up, sure, look up seal octopus. Yeah, everybody's seen this shit. And I guess seals like to play with their food. And maybe he was, like, sharing it. Like, here, you know, throw it now, throw it back to me. It didn't seem, I mean, it seems like an aggressive move. Right, but.
I love this article. Why did an octopus wielding sea lion slap a kayaker in the face? You know, my answer would be like, because of nature, bitch. That's why. That's the answer to that.
This should be. Why did an octopus wielding sea lion slap a kayaker in the face and other jokes that my 4-year-old has told me?
Yeah.
That sounds like a 4-year-old joke. The answer would be because.
Oh, shit!
That would probably be the answer, just because, yes. You see, he gave him a quick slap in the face with the octopus.
I'd be like, "Hey, take your octopus back, bitch."
He didn't wound him or anything. I don't think he hit him too hard.
Seems to go with this video, this music. This is the next 30 seconds, them going, "Oh, I got hit in the face with an octopus." Oh, it just loops. Okay. Got it. So, what did.
I don't know, where was I going with any of this?
You're telling me it's about the octopuses on ecstasy. Or the octopi on ecstasy.
Oh, yeah, what?
The ones freaked out and changed colors when they took too much.
What did happen to them? I don't know. I closed the window on accident. And.
Let the Beatles finish. There you go, Ringo. Bring it home.
It made him more cuddly.
What?
The MDA, or ecstasy, E, oh. Molly, or a number of other slang terms, according to NPR.
Again, did this experiment 20 years ago in warehouses in Detroit. What? People get more cuddly on ecstasy? You don't say.
Well, Judith Pungor was absolutely shocked that it had this effect. And she's in neuroscience from the University of Oregon.
Well, you've never been to.
And studies octopuses.
It's down in Bend.
She was not part of the research team, though. So they have this huge, complex brain that they've built, according to Pungor, that has absolutely no business acting like ours. But here they show that it does. In fact, they introduced this very sort of gentle, cuddly behavior. That they induce this very gentle sort of cuddly behavior.
They're showing emotions?
Is that the thing? It's pretty fascinating. emotions. You know, I'm convinced that drugs don't affect our emotions. Now, this is somebody who's freaked out on acid and was felt all hug the world on ecstasy. But I don't think it's the drugs. I think all the drugs do is alter your senses in certain ways.
Oh, sure. They heighten them.
Right. The emotional reaction is a reaction to the heightened senses, whatever those might be. And,
Octopus has requested this song.
They would. So, I don't know. I guess I'm totally wrong on how similar our brains are. I know our eyes are a lot like octopuses. I know that.
So she's more shocked that
these
beings aren't supposed to be capable of these type of behaviors
their brains,
or emotions.
She studies octopi, and she says that their brains operate in a totally different way.
Listen, I've tried to have sex with octopi. They're not emotional creatures.
But I guess my thing is that it's not, like, the physical structure of the brain isn't all that different, right? As a matter of fact, from what I can think of, all vertebrates and a lot of invertebrates kind of all have the same structure brain. It's just, you know, this noodly wad of, you know, that of gray matter that's firing electrical impulses through it. It's not that different. And, you know, the way the structure of the brain, if you're looking at the neurons would be a reaction to the stimuli coming in. So if your stimuli is water all the time and eating shit off the seafloor and changing colors and fucking and dying, and then, you know, that's it. Passing on your genes.
Attacking the occasional submarine.
Then that's your brain pattern, you know, that would be created from that. Where ours, we have a lot more. We have more complex brain patterns.
Didn't Popeye fight an octopus in the Popeye movie?
But
with Robin Williams?
Right. I don't think you would need a huge leap in brain evolution for any animal. You would need environmental change and a small step up in some way to take advantage of that, right? Because with resources, that's how we grow our brains. Our brains have grown to a larger size. That's what makes ours unique. But they've grown to that larger size because of the resources we were able to cultivate. Like
don't knock the thumbs.
The thumbs allow us to use tools to cultivate wheat.
Were very underestimated.
To give us a regular diet that allows our brains to grow, that allows us to solve more problems.
But
any animal could have fed into that same feedback
thumbs.
Loop.
We have the bigger brain, so,
well,
yeah.
It doesn't work all the time. Yeah. I mean, not all monkeys, not all chimpanzees evolved into humans. Some of them stayed chimps.
Isn't the front of our brain the part that's different, and that's why we win?
Well, it's because it's not just a yes or no thing.
Right up
it's,
here.
It's a little tweak that happens as a result of or in reaction to the environment. Whether the environment ultimately decides whether a mutation is positive or negative, right? Something is born with gills instead of lungs, and the environment's like, yeah, but you're a landlubber, so you're going to die and not pass on those genes.
It's definitely like the nerdiest show we've done in a while.
It's very science-y.
Possibly ever.
I don't know. The world's been so serious lately. So after MDMA, they were essentially hugging.
Duh.
Really just more relaxed in posture. And using a lot...
a rave around 2 o'clock, see a lot of people hugging.
And using a lot more of their body to interact with the other octopus. Using their body, but no any sexual activity. It wasn't really sexual for me on ecstasy, honestly. I mean... Sure, I have, but it's not...
Didn't mind.
Right. I mean, it's like having a sundae and someone's like, hot fudge, and you're like, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I was going to eat it without it, but sure.
Yeah, but sure. Fudge just makes it... Fudge makes everything better.
Yeah. Let's see. Serotonin has been encoding social functions for a very, very long time, at least 500 million years, and started doing this function. Okay, this is going to get up really deep now. I don't think we're prepared for this. Or maybe we are. Maybe this is a perfect state of preparation. Here's the question. Is it affection? Right?
Yes.
I mean, this is what I was trying to get at before.
It's a little bit of the old in-out.
The emotions are a reaction to physical stimuli.
Is this... You want to know if this is an octopus going, I love you, man!
Well, right. Because part of taking ecstasy is that you get this really... this body buzz that makes the sensation of touch very tingly and exciting. And that's why it's not... it can get sexual, certainly. Or you could just, you know, be stroking somebody's scalp because it feels good.
Yeah. Back in that hair. It was awesome.
And that's really what it's about. So, I mean, what does a scientist say, though? I'm going to start weighing in afterwards because I'm always wrong. She's going to be like, these octopi are fucking in love. They will not leave each other alone. They've run off with each other. Is it really affection? How would we know? Mainman, one of the scientists, says, it's totally fascinating and super suggestive, but I am not 100% convinced that this is doing the same thing in octopus as in human. I argue that it is, and you're just misunderstanding what's going on in the human brain. The human brain wants to make sense of what's going on at all times. That's its job, is make sense of all this input.
A little too much time with the octopi.
When that
a little
input,
more time with the humans.
When that input goes weird, it wants to make sense of it. And maybe that sometimes that translates into, like, you quote-unquote falling in love with somebody. Mm. You can make really intense bonds with somebody on drugs because you're trying to, like... You're sharing an experience with them, right? We're both feeling the same things. We're on the same drugs. We have this certain bond because we're on the same level. We can communicate in a different way. And that has a bonding effect. It's not the drug. The drug doesn't go like, oh, it make you fall in love with somebody. And then the next morning, you're like, who's this uggo? I don't know.
Yeah, was it an octo walk of shame?
Yeah.
Was there a swim of shame?
This science is faulty from the start, right? Because what are you really measuring?
I know, right? Let's give ecstasy.
Do octopi feel the same way that we do physically?
A bunch of ecstasy.
Answer appears to be yes. If you want to know if they fall in love, the answer isn't to give them drugs, because nobody ever said, how do you fall in love? Ecstasy. Nobody... I don't even think anybody really believes
this. Is this two professors getting together? Listen, I had this... Both had two failed experiments. Like, hey, let's combine them.
I mean, the thinking is, I guess, that how do you measure love? You could measure love if you can tweak it. And we know that we could tweak love with drugs in humans, only that's a false statement. You can't.
Yeah.
You can put them through similar experiences and create bonds that way, but that's not...
There's no love potion number nine.
I mean... Maybe.
That song lied.
And also, you don't measure it by what their actions are at that moment when they're changing colors and grappling with each other.
Yeah.
Well, that looks like love to me. Yeah. Hey, that's what I've always seen on the Disney cartoons.
Yeah. Mommy, what are these octopuses doing? They're fighting.
I couldn't find anything that talked about long term. Like, did these bonds seem to stick with these beings? That would make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that, whether they reacted the same way and whether or not you want to call that love or affection or anything like that, is really not the question that marine biologists should be asking, I don't think, right?
I mean, it sounds like someone trying to
stay in your lane.
It just sounds like somebody like, we're out of ideas, we have some funding.
They were going.
Let's give them some octopi.
They were having an office party one night. You know, they're all drunk, and they were like, "Let's just find the craziest shit that we can get with our grant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And still keep our grant. What's the craziest shit we can get our hands on? And then we have to figure out how to make a viable experiment out of that. Everybody forgets." 2 weeks later, like, we got your 17 octopi in a saltwater tank out here. and 2 pounds of ecstasy pills.
Yeah.
They had another party. Then the next day, they started to figure out.
I was going to say, and also,
how can we justify?
There are dead octopi in the study. There were.
Are you official?
No, I'm just saying there are some. We heard about the took too much octopi. I'm telling you, there were octopi before that. They were like, oh, shit. Don't give them that much.
I thought they set them loose. I thought that was one of the octopi that seal slapped that kayaker with. Yeah, right. That's why he did it. He was mad at me. He wouldn't stop trying to feel on him.
Yeah.
It's like this thing has its tentacles all over me.
I'm just saying, I bet there's a batch of octopi before the took too much octopi. There was a round where they went, all right, so not that much. Because this is science, right?
Well, they did say that maybe. But you know what? I've never heard of anybody ODing on ecstasy. And the only cause of death that I've ever heard from it is from dehydration. And these are living in water. So I don't think that's an issue. So no, I don't think the octopi could actually die off of it. It's not like heroin where your functions would actually like shut down. You would just see Jesus.
Yeah.
Or whatever your eight-armed.
Octo-Jesus.
Octo-Jesus. Save me, Octo-Jesus.
Octo-Jesus. Sounds like a prog rock band name.
Sounds like a really old Jesus.
Octo-Jesus, yeah.
Jesus comes back and he's 80 years old.
It's like Grandpa Simpson.
What happened?
I'm Octo-Jesus.
Hey, time moves differently, but it didn't stop the last 2,000 yeah. years, okay? Give me a break. Yeah.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net and thank you for listening.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.